Welcome to Gen Z Hoops. Today, we're joined by Pacific Division expert, Ananya Raghavan, here to break down the past week of NBA action for the Clippers, Kings, Lakers, Suns, and Warriors. Ananya, what are you seeing from the Warriors over the last week?
This week, the Warriors went 2-2, first losing back-to-back games against Dallas and San Antonio on the road, before beating the Spurs on the second game of that miniseries and finishing up the week with a win against the Magic. Stephen Curry is just playing otherworldly level basketball right now. In the four games this week, he put up 57, 32, 32, and 40 points. His ability to move without the ball makes him especially hard to guard. His fitness and strength is at a better level than I've ever seen it. And his finishing at the rim is just spectacular. He just leaves you speechless when he plays. I could argue that this season is better than his 2015-2016 unanimous MVP season. If he can sustain this type of play throughout the course of the season, that 15-16 season was just kind of magical to behold, but this is pretty damn close. Looking over to their other veteran guy, Draymond Green has now put together five straight games, having 10-plus assists. He's been seeing the floor incredibly well, finding people on slips, off the split screen action, and just making great reads in general. One thing I would say is that he's averaging 2.8 turnovers per game, and these are typically unforced errors. For a guy who is playing the floor general much of the time, because Steph likes to play off the ball, the team can't afford some of these turnovers that he's been having. And part of the reason of this is teams know that he's not looking to score, so they play him for the pass. He's averaging his lowest field goal attempts per game since his rookie season with 5.4 attempts per game this year. You compare that to the best season I've seen Draymond play, that 2015-16 73-win year, and he averaged 10.1 field goal attempts per game. So in order for this team to be successful, Draymond needs to be aggressive, play downhill, and that'll open up the floor even more for guys to get easier looks.
Definitely. And then obviously the biggest storyline for this week is Kevin Durant's return to the Bay Area. Now, I'm curious what this means for Dubs fans everywhere. Most importantly, you as a huge KD fan, and what can the Warriors do to pull out the win?
Warriors fans and me in general have just been waiting for this moment for over a year. KD has been my favorite player since he came into the league, essentially a 7-foot point guard who can score at will. So I'm obviously a huge fan of his and very excited for tonight. For Warriors fans, KD did a lot for the Bay Area, helping lead the team to three straight finals, winning two of them, and literally giving his body to try to win that third in a row. Although I would have personally loved to see him stay a Warrior forever, I respect his decision to choose a place and situation that made him happiest, because, you know, he's a human and a man before he's a basketball player, and I wish him nothing but the best, as I'm sure all of Warriors Nation does. Looking to the basketball side of it, DeAndre Jordan is out for this matchup, so the Warriors' lack of size will be less of an issue, as both their centers in Looney and Wiseman are still out with injury. This game will pretty much come down to how well the Warriors will be able to take care of the ball, knock down open shots, and make it difficult for the Nets to score. Brooklyn has three of the best scorers in the league on their team with Harden, KD, and Kyrie. So you're not going to completely stop them, but the goal is to make them take and make tough shots. And if the Warriors can do that, I think that they'll be in a good position.
Can't wait to see that game tonight, Ananya. I know it's been circled on your calendar for months now, but how about over in Phoenix? Have you seen any exciting updates there for the Suns?
Currently, the Suns are on a four-game win streak, beating Detroit, Boston, Cleveland, and Milwaukee. Two of those games in particular, the wins over Boston and Milwaukee, are huge for this team, because those are two of the best teams in the East, and being able to win in big games is a great milestone for a young team. Last week, I talked about the importance of Michael Bridges and Cameron Johnson playing well in order for this team to be successful. Well, against Boston, Bridges was 8-for-13 from the field for 19 points to go along with 9 rebounds. Johnson was 5-of-10, going 4-of-8 from 3 for 17 points and 5 rebounds. Against Milwaukee, Bridges went 6-for-7, 3-for-3 from 3, and had 15 points. And Johnson went 3-of-7, all from 3 for 9 points. So the success of this team is so contingent on guys playing consistently, especially these two guys, as the season has shown. In that one-point win over Milwaukee, which was a really exciting game, all the starters played really, really well. Frank Kaminsky, who moved into the starting lineup with that Detroit game at the beginning of the win streak, finished the game with 14 points, 8 rebounds, and 8 assists. DeAndre Ayton went 7 of 10 from the field for 17.7 rebounds. Chris Paul was 10 for 20 for 28 points and 7 assists. And Devin Booker just led the way on 11 of 21 shooting to finish with 30 points and 6 rebounds. This overall effort from the Suns allowed them to overcome a 47-point game from reigning MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo. So playing team basketball and getting contributions from everyone shows that when this team does that, they can be really, really good.
You mentioned Frank Kaminsky moving into the starting lineup. How have the Suns been doing since Monty Williams made this change?
Yeah, like we talked about, the most notable lineup change for the Suns has been moving Kaminsky into that starting spot and having Cameron Johnson come off the bench. In Frank Kaminsky's minutes since he moved to the starting lineup, the Suns are a plus 16. In Cameron Johnson's minutes since he started coming off the bench, the Suns are a plus 32. So this change in general has just been an overall net positive for the Suns. And this combined with the return of Devin Booker last week has got this team playing really good basketball.
Moving on to the Clippers, they've had to play without star player Paul George for a few games. How have you seen them navigate that?
Paul George continues to be out with a toe injury, unfortunately, but the Clippers were still able to go 2-1 this week, losing to Sacramento and then winning 2 in a row against Minnesota and Chicago. Clippers starters didn't play well in that loss to Sacramento. Batum was a minus 14 overall. Leonard shot 9 of 21 to finish with 20 points. Ibaka had 6 points on 3 of 9 shooting. The team just struggled to shoot the ball in general, going 8 of 28 from 3. And ball movement was one of the things that was an issue in this game. The team averages 24 assists per game in general, but they only had 19 against the Kings. And this indicates that the team was probably not moving the ball much, which led to tougher shots. On the season, the Clippers averaged 285 passes per game, but in this game against the Kings, they only made 269 passes. Without having a guy that can create like Paul George, it's very tough for a team to get good looks without ball movement. Now, that being said, the Clippers were able to follow up that loss with 2 wins against the Wolves and the Bulls. Kawhi Leonard and Lou Williams played really well in both these games. Kawhi was incredible against the Wolves with 36 points on 13 of 25 shooting, going 5 of 6 from 3. And then against the Bulls, he followed that up with a 14 for 21 performance for 33 points. Lou Williams had what was probably his best game of the season against the Wolves, going 10 of 15 for 27 points, and then having another nice game against Chicago, going 8 for 13 from the field for 17 points and 5 assists.
Interesting stuff. And then if Paul George continues to miss games for a prolonged period of time, what do you think the Clippers need to really do in order to still be successful in his absence?
It's going to be interesting to see how long Paul George will be out and how the Clippers will play during this time. The team has a tough schedule ahead, playing Miami, back-to-back games with Utah, and then facing off against the Nets. There's the hope for this team that George will be able to come back soon, but if he misses any of these games, it's even more contingent on the Clippers to play team basketball on both ends of the floor. Paul George is not only one of the team's best offensive players, but he's also a great wing defender. Offensively, the team's going to need to move the ball to shift the defense and get clean looks. And defensively, they got to make sure that they have good ball pressure, backside rotations are solid, and that they rebound as a team to allow them to get out and go in transition and get easier buckets. If they do this, the team's only going to learn and grow in George's absence. And when he comes back, they're just going to be even better.
Awesome stuff. And then you've been talking for weeks about how the Kings have been trending in the right direction recently. Have they been able to keep it up this week?
To start the week, the Kings continued their trend of great basketball, beating 2 of the top teams in the West in the Denver Nuggets and Los Angeles Clippers. The very next game after Tyrese Haliburton set his career high with 21 points against the Celtics, he followed that up with a new career high of 23 against the Nuggets. You couple that with a 24-point performance from De'Aaron Fox, who, by the way, was named Western Conference Player of the Week last week. Congrats, De'Aaron. Rashawn Holmes had 21 points and 10 rebounds. And Harrison Barnes led the way for the team in that game with 28 points on 10 of 16 shooting, going 5 of 7 from 3. This is all in spite of the fact that Nikola Jokic had a 50-point performance. And this is because the Kings were able to limit the rest of the Nuggets players from having a major impact. You know, Michael Porter Jr. didn't do much in that game. And so by only allowing one star player for the Nuggets to go off, the Kings were able to beat a really good team. Now, after that Clippers win, the Kings have now lost two in a row. They had a tough loss against the Eastern Conference powerhouse, Philadelphia 76ers. In this game, the Kings got out-rebounded 39-59. They didn't shoot the ball particularly well from three, yet they shot 42 threes. And while Philly's one of the best teams in the East, and it was expected that they would probably win this game, in order for the Kings to be a playoff contending team going forward, they need to be able to adapt when the three ball isn't falling and try to score in a different way. Maybe get to the free throw line, utilize the mid-range game, move the ball a little more to get cleaner looks. So if the team can do this, then they'll be fine going forward. The Kings finished off the week with a really bad loss against the Orlando Magic last night. They were playing this game without De'Aaron Fox, but in spite of that, they really shouldn't have lost this game. They had 18 turnovers. The Magic were playing on the second night of a back-to-back. And Orlando in general is a team that's been decimated by injuries. They only had 9 guys active. Nikola Vucevic was able to put up a career-high 42 points on 17 of 22 shooting, which tells me that the Kings weren't making things hard for him. He's basically the only guy Orlando has to play through offensively, and he was able to have an extremely efficient shooting game, which tells me that the pressure on him wasn't what it should have been. So the team has been playing so well up to this point that you hope that this is an anomaly, which is something that inevitably happens over the course of a season. But I'm looking to see the Kings bounce back to what they were doing for the last few weeks going forward.
Finally, heading over to the Pacific Division leading Los Angeles Lakers, who you've had a love-hate relationship with since I met you. How have they been looking lately?
Right now, the Lakers are the hottest team in the league with a 7-game win streak. And you mentioned that love-hate relationship, so I just want to put this out as a disclaimer. I do not hate the Lakers. I'm tough on them because they're such a good team with two of the best players in the league, yet they just seem to be going through the motions lately. Like, I understand the frustration that Lakers fans must feel with this, because in KD's second year with the Warriors, I would see that a lot because they were just so much better than everyone else that they felt that they can turn it on and off at any point in time. Now, the difference between this Lakers team and that Warriors team is that there's a lot more competition that the Lakers are going to have to go through in order to win a championship again. And building these habits is something that could get them in trouble. This week, they played a lot of extra basketball, going to double overtime against the Pistons, who, once again, are just not a good basketball team. Then they had back-to-back overtime wins against the Thunder. And if you take this in consideration with the fact that the team had the shortest offseason compared to every other NBA team, these extra miles is just not something that they need on their legs. And the only reason that these games are going to overtime is because the team just messing around, and they're better than that. I would love to see them turn the switch on and keep it on, because they're that good, and that's what they should do.
With that being said, this team is still always finding a way to win. How have they been able to do that while still not playing their best basketball?
Well, it helps when you have one of the best players to ever play the game in LeBron James. Anytime he's on your team, you automatically have a chance to win. And like I've said, the Lakers are still one of the best teams in the league. I just believe that they haven't even come close to playing as great of basketball as they are capable of yet. Now, following those three overtime games, they had a good win against the Grizzlies, where Anthony Davis had 35 points on 16 of 27 shooting. Kyle Kuzma had one of his best games on the season with 20 points and 10 rebounds on 8 of 14 shooting to be an overall plus 21 in his minutes. A guy that I mentioned who just plays hard-nosed winning basketball, Alex Caruso, was plus 24 in his 20 minutes in that game with 6 assists, and just continues to be a key contributor to this team. So like I said, the Lakers, if they can keep that switch on, they are a very scary team, but I've yet to see them do that this season, and I would love to because they're just extremely talented. Now, coming up in Pacific Division action, we have a couple Valentine's Day matchups this weekend. The Lakers head to Denver for a matchup with the Nuggets. The Kings will have a date with the Grizzlies, and the Clippers will face off against the Cleveland Cavaliers. But before we can get to those date night matchups, we have two exciting games here on Saturday. Philly comes into Phoenix to face the the Hot Suns in a very exciting matchup of two up-and-coming teams. And then my personal favorite, Kevin Durant, makes his long-awaited return to the Bay Area in a very exciting matchup against the Golden State Warriors tonight.